Carbondale Mayor Mike Henry. Hey, you had a good Thanksgiving, Mike?
We sure did. We had it was myself and my wife Terry and Terry's mother.
All right, kept it small
at our house, and we had a full Thanksgiving dinner, just smaller portions of everything. Smallest turkey I've ever bought, 9 pounds. But that's how we celebrated Thanksgiving. It worked out well. The rest of it was by phone with our family.
Well, I'm glad to hear it went smoothly for you. You know, I was talking to Brad Cole, former Carbondale mayor, yesterday morning about cure funds. This has been something that I have spent considerable time on here on the show, talking about the importance of this and the problems that it's faced. When I looked at the figures for Carbondale, the proposed allotment was $1,068,536. Mike, how much of that are you going to see, or any at all?
I think we're going to see a little over a quarter of a million, for sure. We're not certain of all of it yet, but we're going to get some of it.
I know when I was speaking to DeCoin Mayor Guy Longio Monday, he said, you know, his budget shortfall probably around $300,000 at this point. You started that budget process. What's it look like right now for you?
About $2.5 million.
Wow. I was not ready for that, Mike.
Yeah, that's out of our $25 million budget, and we have another budget, our operating budget, which is funded by fees. It's around $25 million also. We haven't even gotten to that part yet, but it won't be hurt quite as bad. But, we're gonna take a significant hit. We really are.
How are you going to fix that? How are you going to fill that gap? How are you going to be able to bridge from one place to the other with that kind of shortage?
Well, you know, we've had 12 retirees, and we're not going to replace them. Our manager's working really hard with the council to figure out how we can rework City Hall and do things differently. And it's gonna have an effect throughout City Hall for sure. I won't have too much of an effect on services in town. It may take us a little longer to get to some things as far as routine road repairs and things like that. But we're going to do that. We have a couple council members would like to look at real estate tax increases. That's at the very, very bottom of my list. I don't want to go there. But we'll get into the budget year and see where we are.
I'm curious about this because my rule of thumb is 70% of every dollar is for wages. Guy Alonji, as I said, surprised me when he said 86% in his community. Out of every dollar, when you say $1 million, I want to kind of think of it that way, is $1 million bucks. How much of that is salaries? Is it 75, 80, 90?
You know, I'm thinking it's 70 to 75, but honestly, I haven't taken a hard look at that number, but it's in that 70, 75 range, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's a way to humanize a dollar, a tax dollar. I think that makes it more consumable, understandable, you know, in my mind,
yeah.
You know, and I say, all right, if I got a dollar, how much of that is somebody's wages, right? And one of the reasons why I think this, Mike, is because the nature of Carbondale inside of Jackson County and Southern Illinois as a whole is a destination shopping location. And then here we are at Christmas and people, well, I'm going to do online shopping because I can't go COVID, right?
Right.
And then but at the same time, we have to acknowledge those purchases are taxed online now too.
Yeah, they are finally, and it should have been for years. But yeah, they're finally being taxed online, which that does help. And you know, our stores, the University Mall, and then the stores that are directly across Highway 13 from that have looked fairly busy. Fairly good amount of cars in the parking lot, not full by any stretch, but folks have been in there. I've been in a couple of the stores. People are wearing their masks, the employees in every store. I was in like 4 different stores, kind of just checking things out, and every employee was wearing a mask, almost every customer wearing masks, and the people are out there getting it done. They're finally getting used to this mask thing a little bit more, I think, at least here in Carbondale. So that's helping us. Our numbers haven't been going up significantly in Jackson County.
I was curious about that, Mike, because as of yesterday in Jackson, 34 new positive cases, 431 active. I really watched that active number. And the term used in the press release yesterday, the Jackson County Health Department, was exposure risk elevated. You know, I went to shopping in Carbondale on Saturday. So I was through there the early portion of the day. And my first impression was comparative analysis compared to when, because I'm pretty regular about when I go do things. And I noticed there were substantially more cars, in, for instance, in the Best Buy parking lot, which very often has no more than 10 or 12 at some time around 10 or 11 on Saturday morning, if that.
Right.
And then when I glanced over at the mall, I picked this up from Mayor Butler. Just go to the parking lot. You'll know how the business is. And,
yeah.
it, you know, he used to do that over there, right? And the same, I think, when I came to the University Mall, it looked to me, I was encouraged. I was.
Yeah, I was too. And, you know, a unique thing, I'll give a plug to it, is our Winter Farmers Market is in the east end of University Mall now every Saturday.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Well, one of these times, if you're going on, won't you text me and let me know, and I'll meet you over there. Well, I'll show you that mushroom guy I'm so fond of.
Yeah, yeah. You sure that's the right mushroom guy you're talking about there?
It absolutely is. It really is. You know, when you talk about this, you know, shopping and how important this is and the shortfall, and I can't shake this after I read this report from Deutsche Bank about what the pandemic has done, they had the effects on it, and they were suggesting that we tax people who work from home now for that privilege because, well, people have bought money for you to, or borrowed money for you to have an office to work in, you're not paying for it. It needs to be a new way to be able to take care of these things. It's accelerated all trends was the term. And in particular, they focused on this movement online was strong, and the pandemic has just strong-armed it all the way through the funnel now and what that costs a community. And I'm deeply concerned about the outcome of not only the pandemic, but our response shopping-wise at a crucial time in the year. I hate to monetize Christmas, but it is important.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this impact, there's so much going on with people working from home now. I mean, some of these large corporations are actually wanting to cut the compensation and this, that, and the other. And it's really an area that's in flux. And it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. You know, it seems to me our large corporations seem to be coming out of this pretty well, particularly our big credit card companies and so on. And
yeah.
And it's the little guys that are struggling and going out of business. That's going to make a big, significant change in our economy. We've always been a country where mom and pop stores were there, you know, and you could open up a business and do your thing. And, man, they're struggling. All of them are.
All right. Let's take a look at Tres Hombres, Monday, last day of business, closed on Tuesday, I believe.
Yeah.
Now, and when I say closed till further notice, temporarily, right? You know, and the economics of COVID, as you call it, Denny's, was it? Just not enough room in there to be able to keep the doors open, pay the bills, pay everybody because there are rules about spacing out. I'm seeing more and more businesses say this is either one, closing and we're done. We did as long as we could, or two, we're done for now. When this is over, we'll see you then.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, our police always do a bar count at midnight, occupancy count of bars at midnight. They go through the bars and check them and see if everything's okay. And, you know, we're seeing four people in a bar, two, six. Trace was doing fairly well. They had people out in their beer garden fairly well compared to the others, but it was still, compared to the others, but it was still just 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not enough to keep the doors open.
Not enough to keep the lights on, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And I really hated to see, of course, it was a shock, but still, Lights Fantastic Parade.
Oh, yeah, man, I hated for that to go. That's one of my favorite things. I have my ring that lights up, and I have all this,
right.
All this stuff right in the parade, and I just love watching the kids on the sidewalks when I'm in the parade, and it's just a great thing. People come from all over the area to come over here and see it, and lots of events like that are going by the wayside. A lot of charitable fundraisers that are large that happen this time of year are going away. You see them all moving online, and those charities are struggling too.
You're gonna have a light a tree lighting.
It's just a different time.
You're gonna have a tree lighting.
And, I've always said one of my favorite sayings is, "You have to be nimble," and that's certainly one of the primary characteristics of this pandemic we're in is you have to be nimble. You have to adjust to the times and do the best you can to get through it, even individually in your daily life, let alone us folks that are running businesses.
Yeah. So you're going to have a tree lighting. That's Friday. Is that right?
Yeah, I actually did the video for it 2 days ago.
Okay.
So it was myself and our public relations officer, Ronnie LaForge, standing out there in the cold, and I did the video in front of the tree. And so we're not really inviting the public. We're going to go over there and flip the switch on, and she's going to superimpose it behind me, I think.
All right.
So.
Well, you've got a number of things that are going on this weekend. A cookie walk scavenger hunt scheduled 4 to 6 on Sunday. Carbondale Main Street's hosting that. The Fantastic Window Display Contest.
Yeah.
The winners will be announced this Saturday. Of course, the static display, I think, is probably the more appropriate. Light's Fantastic Float Display goes on Saturday and Sunday. Where is that?
You know, that is directly east across the railroad tracks from City Hall. So it's the area where we have concerts in the summer. And it's if people know where Tres Hombres is, it is just south on the same street that Tres Hombres is on. And where the Consume Cannabis building is. It's right across the street from that. It's between that building and the railroad tracks. But right up next to the railroad tracks in the center of town.
Right. Okay, good. So you might want to take the kids over and take the camera and maybe mask up and come and join the rest of the community. You know, there was one other thing that I did note. Came out in a press release from Carbondale PD yesterday that you have a safe exchange zone now at the Carbondale Police Department. This is a very good idea.
Yes, it is. And we have had this for a while, but we're really advertising it more now and letting citizens know that. So, and for people that don't know, this is where, you know, a good example is divorced parents can come and park safely and transfer the kids from one parental custody to the other, that kind of thing. And it's right at the police station.
And under video surveillance.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and, you know, if you're selling something on eBay or somebody you've met on social media and you're going to exchange goods for money, these are very good. Check your town, your police department. A lot of police departments do this, and people are unaware of it. And it turns out every time I find a reason why this is good, somebody shares a new reason with me.
Right.
Because they've got their own things going on, right? And they don't want to necessarily say, call the police and say, we're worried about this, but if you've got a location to do this, people do avail themselves of it once they're made aware of it. Before I let you go, something, crime in Carbondale and my continued ongoing reaction to it, right? I watched this and I'm disturbed at how young some of the accused are.
I am too, Tom. This is such a horrible problem. I mean, we've seen a 13-year-old out running around with a 17-year-old and trying to rob people on the street. And you know, that was just a couple a week ago or so.
Right.
You know, I'm just at a loss. I just don't understand it. I don't know how kids are out at, you know, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night at that age, unsupervised. It's a very, very complex social problem, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't know where it is. I know we have a lot of good folks in Carbondale working on it, trying to get things done, have things for our youth to do. And that's harder and harder to do these days because you can't get people together, you know.
Right.
Boys and Girls Club is right in the north central part of Carbondale, and, you know, it's very difficult for them to do their events that they've done before.
You know, and I've watched this change. It's not just Carbondale. It's a lot of places.
Oh, yeah.
And I was reading a story in Florida, and I have a hard time coming through this conceptually, where a mother is shot attending her son's funeral, who had been shot by a police officer. So we know it weren't the police that weren't doing a drive-by, something gang-affiliated, but they knew where they were going to be for the funeral, and they went and shot people. And I'm thinking, now we shoot people in the graveyard while they're mourning their loss. I find it mind-boggling, but we continue to go on. Do you think having a new police chief, a search going on there now, or a new state's attorney like Joe Cervantes, who was sworn in yesterday, can have an effect on these problems?
Unfortunately, I don't think that's where the problem lies. I think the problem lies in our family structure with having things, safe places for kids after school, for kids being safe waiting for school buses in the morning, getting off school buses in the afternoons. We've always had initiatives to protect our children and watch out for them, but we just have to be doing more. We've always had a good police chief. We've always had good prosecutors here. But it is just a large social problem that's very difficult to get a handle on.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in some places, third, fourth generation of that's all these kids know. And
I was told by one of the members in the community, I met with them, gang members. And they told me, even though as I was asking them questions, which are even more frank than the ones that we're having right now, and they told me point blank, there's no way they could understand. There's no way you're white. There's no way you can understand my problem. You can't. I said, well, then explain it to me, dude. Tell me what the problem is. He says, well, a lot of us in his group, they said, we were at the barbecue restaurant, 148 and 13. And he says, imagine in your world that we get out and we get in your car and we drive from here and we go to Murfreesboro and you never see a gas station. He says, that's the world I come from Chicago. And I'm here, and they were here specifically to sell drugs. And he says, my wife, she's got a great job. I've got a lot of felonies. I can't find any work. I don't know what to do. They won't even accept me in the military, and I want to join the military, but I've got so many charges on my record in the past in Chicago. You're incapable of understanding how I grew up and why I do what I do. You're just incapable of it. That was the summation.
Well, I understand that. I do.
My first thought is, well, help me, dude. Tell me what it is that I can do to help. Well, you could ask a congressman to help me please join the military so I could leave this life. That would be great. Can you do that for me? I'm like, well, I'll try, but I am making guarantees like that.
Right.
But the guy was looking for a way out. He brought some of his associates, and they were very frank with me that there's no choice for me but this. This is the only choice I have, and that's probably the only part of the conversation that they would agree that I could understand.
Yeah, and Carbondale has an interesting thing going on. The northeast side of Carbondale is where a lot of our black community live. And there's a building over there called the Irma C. Hayes Center.
Yes.
Been there for a very long time. And the community owns that building now. And there's a gentleman who grew up in Carbondale. His name's Robert Wills. And very successful businessman. And he has come back here. He is the executive director of the National Organization of 100 Black Men. And 100 Black Men is exactly what it says. There are thousands now. But they mentor children of color and intercede for them. And so Bob Wills has come in, taken over the board of directors of the Irma C. Hayes Center, and he has run port authorities both on the East and West Coast in his career. So he is a guy who is highly organized and understands how to run a business, and he also understands, of course, what it's like to grow up. He grew up in Carbondale. In a segregated neighborhoods, essentially. And so, he's until his age is probably in his 70s, early 70s, like me. And he is going to bring this center back. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth has an office in there. We have been wanting to establish a police presence in that building for many years. For the last, I guess we initiated probably my second year as mayor, I started talking about it. And previous board of directors just didn't want that. He wants it, understands it, and welcomes it. So we're going to get that done, and it'll be a place in that neighborhood, which is has a significant amount of crime, that people can come to, kids can come to after school if they don't have parents at home. And again, it's sort of like that safe place. They can be there, and they'll be able to meet our police officers and talk with them. They'll be able to have activities after school. There'll be volunteers there, and eventually it'll be open to community events. And I think this is going to go a long way for Carbondale to fight these problems that we've been talking about,
especially in the formative younger, the more younger spectrum, I think.
Right, absolutely, and it's going to give these kids some mentors, and I met Mr. Wills, the Spirit of Addicts. Addict School is also actually in fronts on Main Street in Carbondale, but that building has been, I can't say it's been restored, but it was the Black High School, and he graduated from that. It was blacks only in that high school,
right?
And so it has been stabilized structurally as new windows, and the city got grants years ago and stabilized the roof and everything. But he wants to bring that building back also,
right?
And do something with it. So this is a gentleman who's going to carry the ball here and really make a significant difference for us, and we're going to help him all we can as a city.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, I've actually been in that building with the prospect of purchasing it and renovating it. So there's a lot of issues there. So when you said stabilized, there's more important things behind that than you can possibly imagine, because I've actually been there with the people from Morgan Builders.
Oh, yeah. I've been all through it, too. Yeah. The basement is constantly full of water.
Yeah, sealing the asbestos floors. I mean, it's there. So, but yeah, it's got a heck of a garage. Hey, Mike, appreciate it. We ran out of time this morning, but happy holidays. I look forward to talking to you again before the year end to kind of envision the new year, okay?
Same to you, Tom, and keep an eye on that Irma C. Hayes Center and Bob Wills.